You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. If you were tuned in to Tech Talk last week, you'll have heard our first look at the Zoom Essentials Series H1, where I took you through a little bit of a demonstration of getting started with the device. Now, of course, there are more extensive and more detailed reviews out there, not just of the Zoom H1 Essential, but also the H4 Essential and the H6 Essential. But I thought it'd be a great idea to catch up with Zoom themselves and find out a little bit more about what brought us to this point and perhaps the direction of travel from here. So we are joined by Director of Products and Support North America. It is Samuel Green from Zoom. Welcome in to RNIB Connect Radio, Samuel. Fantastic to have your company. Just for listeners who are perhaps not steeped in this, just talk us through what is the Zoom Essential Series.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Very excited to be here talking with you, especially about this Essential Series. So Zoom has been making handheld audio recorders for a while now, used by musicians and podcasters and audio for video people, filmmakers of all kinds. And some of the most popular products in that line, the H1 and the H4 M Pro and the H6, the previous versions of these three recorders, were out for a long time and served people very well, but we've replaced all three of them simultaneously with our new Essential Series, the H1 Essential, H4 Essential, and H6 Essential. And, various updates, one of the biggest ones being 32-bit float recording, and maybe we'll get into more about that. But the big feature that we're going to be talking about, I think, is the accessibility feature built into these. So all three of these recorders have a voice guidance system for blind and visually impaired creators to be able to navigate through and operate these units. And we're so excited to have that, and I'm excited to be here talking to you about it.
And it's not just the voice. You've got some extra tones in there as well. There are some audio cues, ear cons, I guess we would call them, that let you know when the device is switched on, when things have changed, when you pushed a button, when you got that nice little double beep, for example, at the end of the recording. So you've really taken a thoughtful approach to accessibility with this new Essential range.
Absolutely. And that was, kind of what we were trying to do is make it from the base level accessible. And that starts with when you purchase one of the products, you put the batteries in it for the first time, you need to turn it on. The first thing that pops up with a voice call out is if you'd like to turn the accessibility system on. So from step one of opening the product and putting the batteries in, you have that accessibility. And you listed a bunch of, great ways that shows itself. Another one is, the headphone volume control. You have two different tones for up and down, and obviously you also hear the volume go up and down of those beeps. We've tried to pack everything in, starting from step one of using the recorder.
You mentioned blind people briefly there, and I'm a realist. I recognize that we represent quite a niche demographic. Was it just blind people you had in mind when you were developing those features, or was it your hope that sighted producers would also find the voice output helpful?
That's an interesting question. I think our initial thoughts were only for blind users. And what we found through the development process and the engineering teams using these recorders was some of them liked having it on and they didn't want to turn it off. I think we've learned that there's more to the story of who might find these accessibility features very useful, and that's exciting to us.
And just give us a sense of the scope of this initiative. We've got three products today that speak out of the box. When you arrived at the decision to do that, how committed is Zoom overall? Are we likely to see some of this accessibility work reaching some other products down the line?
So this journey has been a few years, and it started with us trying to make an iPhone app that was fully accessible, which accompanied one of our products, the R20. And we ended up being very limited in the feature set that we were able to put into the app that would be fully accessible. So, and we've also seen users use some of our other apps, which we never, you know, specifically programmed to be accessible. You know, a lot of the function worked out of the box with the iOS screen reader and gestures and such, which was great. But after everything, we realized we've got to put this actually in the hardware, and that's when it can start being really useful to everybody all the time. And so, you know, it was a big hurdle to get them into these three products. It ended up being about 25% of total software development time for these units was that system. And we learned a lot that we didn't know before. And we hope to maybe include in some other products. We have nothing currently in the plans that we could discuss. We certainly can't add it to older products, and that is something to note. There is some additional hardware that's involved in the system. So you won't see it in previous products, but it is possible to see it in some future Zoom product.
So how aware were you of the needs of blind content creators during this process? Did you work with blindness organizations or blind podcasters, for example, to make sure that, you know, what was going to go out the door was going to absolutely meet the need?
We've been lobbied for this for a few years, you know, as I'm sure many other companies have, and we've thought about it, and we decided here to finally implement it. We did know that we were going to need some, you know, advice, and our engineering team did reach out to a couple of blind individuals to help with the initial development of it. No specific organizations or anything like that. And now we've been shipping, the H1's been shipping for a couple weeks in the United States. The other two recorders are now out into the market. We've put a lot of effort post-launch now, now that we have these in the hands of several users, specifically blind users, that can provide feedback, and we've been gathering that up. And we've kind of compiled a list of, you know, the things that people might want to change. And things, you know, I'll give you one example. There is no quick way to turn the accessibility system on and off in the current firmware. Obviously, when you first get it, you could turn it on. But if you were to go into the menu and turn it off, it's, you know, some like 13 button clicks to get back to turn it on. So so we're planning on adding a shortcut to be able to do that. And that's just one small thing of you know, several others that we've heard from users that would be helpful. Things that aren't completely accessible, such as, you know, the arming buttons. You do get beeps, but it's the same tone, so you don't know if it's armed or not. So post-launch is a continuation for us of trying to see, you know, what are the things we could do to make it even better.
Right, so you're engaging quite a bit now with the community. I know there are various groups. We've Sound Without Sight in the UK, for example, that aims to support audio producers, and I'm sure you will be receiving feedback in spades. Well, I mean, one of the comments I've, you know, in preparing for this, some people are asking about documentation, for example. Can you speak to that?
Sure. So that is one area that is not very accessible. If you go to our website, we do have a quick tour and a user manual for each of these units. There are quite a few diagrams. There are little icon pictures in the middle of sentences. Not documents a screen reader can conquer easily. So we're investigating what we could do about a full manual. In the meantime, we are planning on releasing some button layout documents to start out as kind of a step one to try to get some documentation that's a little more helpful to blind users. So that is the first thing you'll see from us. You know, we have been made aware of the want for some additional documentation, so we are considering that.
Okay. Well, as soon as that's available, let us know, and we'll be sure to tell everybody over here. The H Essential series, so this is your kind of handy recorder range, the sort of consumer kind of grade device, I guess. And I think you might have already mentioned this. These three products replace their predecessors. So the H1E, the H4E, and the H6E, they replace the N series, if I got that right.
Correct, absolutely.
Okay. But the others in that range, I think there's an H2 and an H5, they're pretty much as you were.
Correct. Yeah, we have the H2N, we have the H5, and also the H8. And those recorders are still around, still current. So, if those are the right for you. But the upgrades on these new units are, you know, really worth considering. And the big one, and I'll jump into it, is 32-bit float recording, which is an incredible feature for all users because it records in a much bigger dynamic range. And so in the end, what ends up happening is we can make it so that you can plug in a microphone into one of these recorders and you can't clip, like it can't get too loud. At the same time, low volumes are recorded at the same quality that high volumes are. Therefore, you can always raise the volume in post-production, which anybody that's worked heavily in 24-bit, if you have a very low signal and you try to raise it up, you end up with a bunch of noise. So put everything together, we've actually been able to eliminate the gain knobs off of these recorders. So the entire recording process is easier, which is great for every user, but is also, an increase in accessibility for the products. You put in your batteries, you put in the SD card, you plug in your inputs, and you hit record, and you know you're going to have audio that you're going to be able to use in post-production, which is a great comfort and simplifying the use of the product in general. And that's kind of, this is where the name Essential comes in, because, we have a belief that audio itself is essential. And audio only happens once. You could play a guitar riff, you're never going to play it exactly the same way again. And so, we've tried for years, since the advent of the vinyl record and then the tape machine, to capture audio perfectly and whenever we want to without mistakes. And 32-bit float gets us a lot closer to that goal.
Right. And obviously that wasn't designed specifically for blind people, but certainly we benefit probably disproportionately because we don't have to worry about setting levels and gains and things like that during the recording process. We can fix everything later, hopefully. There are obviously physical limitations with that, right? I mean, if you scream right into the capsule, then you're going to create some distortion, and that's just a physical function of the material. That's not a gain issue, is it?
Correct. Yeah, and so each of the recorders has a different maximum on the built-in microphones. The H1 Essential is 120 dB, 130 dB for the H4 Essential, and 135 dB for the H6 Essential. So especially the 4 and the 6, you can get very, very high volumes going in there. But the microphones you plug into the XLR inputs, every microphone has an SPL limit where, the physical diaphragm will cause distortion. But the actual voltage captured by that microphone going into the recorder, that's what we can be confident that we're going to be able to record at perfect quality.
You touched on firmware updates. One of the features you're hoping to add is the ability to toggle the accessibility features on and off. And that's fantastic to hear that that's coming, and that's feedback from the community. So it's always worth customers feeding back, because if enough people have got a request, then it's going to get your attention. What's the best way, do you think, Samuel, for folks to do that? I know there's been some comments about the access to the file list, for example. Where would you report something like that?
So I've given my email out in some other interviews, and I'll give it here, which is sgreene, G-R-E-E-N-E, at zoom-na.com. And I'm kind of the one gathering all the feedback. And yes, anybody that has some, we want to hear. And, it goes beyond the specific community, because, customer feedback is, invaluable. There's nothing better than it. You're trying to make a product for customers, you listen to the customer. So yes, we invite any feedback. It is incredibly helpful to us to try to make things even better.
Well, and I thank you for doing that. That's certainly how we managed to connect and get you on here on RNIB Connect Radio. Blind and partially sighted listeners who are curious, maybe not quite ready to take the plunge yet, but what's the best place? Is there an accessibility page, or is there somewhere where those key maps are going to be posted? How can listeners keep across the accessibility progress that you're making?
So as far as firmware updates and things like that, each one of the product pages has a support and downloads link, and that brings you to where all the documentation is. So that's where we'll load all that up. But also we'll push out that info on some other channels, maybe some social channels, to try to keep everybody in tune. And then also to people like yourself and some of the other interviews we've done, we'll make sure we send those documents directly so that the word can spread even outside of our website as far as it can go.
Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate your time, Samuel. I know you're a busy chap. I think it's important to emphasize as well, I had a bunch of requests, and can you ask him about this, and can you ask him about that, and can I put my talking books on here, and all this kind of stuff, right? And you're going to get plenty of that. These are digital recorders, right? This is the whole point of these products, is to go out there and to record music, to record podcasts, to record interviews, to create content. They're not intended as book players or music players.
That is correct. Yeah, right. You'll find they're very limited, no ability to load in files and things like that. So think of them as digital recorders. You know, you've got some sound that you're looking to capture, and that's what these are going to do best.
And they do it very well indeed. And I was lucky enough to take one over to Belfast. We had a technology event here a couple of weeks ago, and it held up very well indeed. Are you able to comment on battery life?
As far as what the specs are?
Yeah, I guess your mileage is going to vary, right, depending on the quality. Because this is the great thing about these recorders as well, is that the batteries are user replaceable. You can put in rechargeables in there or whatever you want, right?
So battery life on these recorders, you have alkaline batteries, nickel metal hydride, and lithium batteries. Lithium will get you the best battery life, alkaline the least, and nickel metal hydride rechargeables in the middle. With alkaline batteries, you're looking at about 10 hours on each of these, and it's two AAAs for the H1 Essential, two AAs for the H4 Essential, and four AAs on the H6 Essential for that battery life. Always consider things like phantom power, especially will reduce your battery life. So an alternate option you have is you have a USB-C port on all three of these, and that has many functions. You could do that with an audio interface, with your phone or a computer, but you could also power through those. So you can even use a USB battery bank to power through the USB port. So if you're looking for a really extended battery life, USB batteries are great.
Okay, and we've talked about some of the pro or semi-pro use cases. One of the things I think the H1 Essential lends itself well to is also for students, right? Just for maybe making a recording in class, if you wanted to take notes from that later on, recording ideas, if you were perhaps a writer, if you're out on a walk and then suddenly inspiration strikes. It's got so many different use cases just because of that portability. You can just have it in your pocket.
Absolutely. So small, so easy to have with you all the time. And it's got some nice features for those kind of applications. You've got a stereo mono button on there, so you could switch the two mics on top to a mono if you're just looking for some cleaner dialogue pickup. And you also have a playback speed adjustment for transcription, which can be very helpful as well for people in those sort of applications.
And do you anticipate accessories, cases, covers, pop shields, is that aftermarket, or is that something that Zoom will probably do?
So we will have an accessory pack for each one of these recorders that has a Harry windscreen, an AC adapter with a USB cord, and a case, a protective case for each. And I'll have exact details on when those will be ready. In the meantime, we do have the WSU-1 Harry windscreen that will fit the H4 and the H6. It's a little large for the H1, although it will go on there. And then we have some kind of universal cases, the SU-20, the SU-40, that are also available if somebody's looking for something quicker.
Okay. Well, I certainly picked up one of those windshield or pop shields because the mics feel pretty open to me, that's you get the great interview and then there's breath all over it, so
Absolutely. Yeah. Anybody doing dialogue pickup with the microphones, they're, you know, condenser microphones, you know, just like any other one, you really do want to get some sort of pop filter, especially if it's going to be fairly close to somebody speaking. So the Harry windscreen does great for that.
All right, Samuel, I'm going to let you go. Do you want to just give us those contact details one more time?
Absolutely. So my name is Samuel Green. Email is sgreen, G-R-E-E-N-E, at zoom-na.com.
Samuel Green, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.